Morning, Roger. How are you?
Good, boys. How are you going?
Very, very well, thank you. Now, take us through Alex de Minaur's epic five-set defeat this morning against Hugo Gaston.
Yeah, well, it's never fun when you go out there and you spend so much effort in trying to get yourself into winning positions, and then it doesn't happen in the a fifth set tiebreak, a 10-point tiebreak. But he gave himself a really good shot when you lead. When you actually get yourself in front, and then you fall two sets to one behind, then you win the fourth 6-love. From there, I thought everything looked pretty well set, but there were a few things were questionable throughout the course of the match, which were my concern. Once you go down the stretch, and we're only talking small points, but when you can't deal with your second serve like Alex was struggling to do, you're only winning 39%, and was making quite a few unforced errors throughout the course of the match, making almost 60-59. And he created opportunities throughout the match, but probably didn't capitalise on the break points that he had. There were some break points that were taken care of well from his opponent, but in all, there were some really, really clear opportunities for him to take that match, and he didn't do so. So he'd be, I think, quite disappointed. Obviously, he puts everything out there.
Djokovic and Nadal both go straight through, buddy. Both look great. Anyone stand out of those two for you? Was your pick still stay?
Yeah, no. What I like about the big boys and on the female side as well is in the Roland Garros so far this year. Well, Novak and Roger and Raf have done this continually throughout the course of their career. They come out in the first round and they make statements early.
Yeah.
They don't ease their way in and get into some sort of grind. We're seeing Tsitsipas at the moment on court. He's down two sets. He's lost his first two opening sets, so he's in trouble. He's one of the guys that you thought would push through and get through deep into the tournament. And let's see if he does. But, they've opened up and taken care of business very, very cleanly, struggled to lose games. And so they set themselves up. And on the women's side, Swiatek, number one seed, former French Open champ, opens up with a 6-2, 6-love win. So when I love it when the big seeds do that early. They get into their stride really quickly, and they set a bit of a marker of what this is going to look like. And Novak, I think, he's here to prove a point because he hasn't played in a major this year. Didn't play in the Aussie Open, so this is his moment. He won Rome, and he was very vocal on court right throughout the first round match. So he's probably trying to send a little statement about his Grand Slam venture this fortnight.
Talk us through the Aussies that are playing tonight, Rog. Kubler's game and Ayla Tomljanovic's game.
Yeah, well, Kubler's great. I mean, a great result for him. He's 5'10". He's a frizzy boy, 29, and he got through his first round. He found it fascinating. People asking him for his autograph, and so that, I guess it's a spectrum. The two sides of being an elite athlete, right? The ones that don't sort of get. Aren't in the public eye as much, and then there's the ones that are. But he plays Cam Norrie from the UK. Cam Norrie, he's top 10 player in the world, and you wouldn't think it when you watch his game. But he's a lefty who grinds, like the clay courts really suit him. He's 6'2". He grinds the ball. He competes like no other. He's got a really good work ethic. Has he got this wow game that you'd love to watch? Day in, day out, no. Kubler's probably got a little bit more flair off the racket, but probably going to be a little bit of a big ask for him in a second round. A lot of energy spent getting through qualifying, winning your first match. He gets a free hit here. Can he do that over five sets? I'm probably leaning Norrie, so that's going to be a tough one. Tomljanovic, well, she beats the number five seed in the first round, and she's no foreigner to beating top 10 players. She's done that on five occasions. So for her to beat Kontaveit and now gets a real shot really at Barbara Krejcikova. The Russian who's 71 in the world. So you would think now she's a favourite to win that match, and puts her in a good situation. And Seville. Daria Seville, she plays Petra Kvitova, who's been a Grand Slam champion, but not the player she is at the moment. Seville's having her second coming. She feels good. Really like the way she moved on the court. A natural clay court player. She's got a good shot there at beating a seed.
Now, what's going on with Stan Wawrinka, Rog? I don't know if you saw this, but blowing up at the chair umpire because his water was too cold. Is that a new one?
It is. He loves his coffee, Stan, every morning. He's, if you look, he's, he loves coffee. Probably, I didn't know about he liked the temperature of the his water temperature. He's one of the great guys, Stan. That would just equal frustration, wouldn't it? He's on the way back. He's trying to get back and play, play some tennis matches. He hasn't been able to play for over 12 months, so almost 18 months. So he's really, really struggled to play any consistent tennis in that time frame. So, a bit of frustration. So Joe Wilfred Tsonga, a man that I coach, retired today at Roland Garros, he's 37-year-old. What great memories he brought here to Australian tennis. He's one of those players that played with passion, real heart. You loved watching him. He brought you onto the tennis court with his emotions. I think a lot of the French people do. And the other one that was interesting, so that was a big moment for Roland Garros. A lot of the players loved Joe Willey. And Naomi Osaka was an interesting one. I'd ask you guys, she's considering not playing Wimbledon now because she feels like without any ranking points, it feels like an exhibition event for her in her head. So she's thinking she may not go there. What are your thoughts? I mean, if you weren't given match payments, for example, for the Ashes series, would you still want to go to the UK and play?
Depends what part of my career. At the start, definitely. If you've never played an Ashes series. And again, I think it depends on where you're at. Sport now is a business, so you should be paid for the work they're doing, definitely. I think that's not fair. But if you're a youngster, any opportunity to go and play in a series like that, you want to take part. But yeah, you shouldn't be, these days, you should not be put in that situation, in my opinion.
Hang on, Rog. No. So they're not, I thought they would only not playing for rankings points at Wimbledon, but are you saying that the prize money's gone?
No. The prize money's there. The ranking points are quite significant because someone like Novak, who won it last year, those 2,000 points that he earned on his ranking, they get deducted 12 months later. So when Wimbledon comes around at the end of Wimbledon this year, those points are taken away from his ranking. He's trying to stay as the number one player in the world, and he has no chance to recoup any points in that 12 months. So therefore, with someone like Novak, it's got a big effect. It can also affect some of the other players who might have had really good a fortnight at Wimbledon, who relied on those 300 or 400 points or 150 points. You know, that could have a shift of their ranking of, 40 or 50 positions, depending on where they sit in the top 100 players in the world or just outside. So it's not the money. The money's all there. Wimbledon, they're not moving any of the money. So it's just the points they're removing. So, that's in conjunction, in collaboration with the UK government, I think, and the way they're setting up around this situation that we're seeing at the moment with Russia and the Ukraine.
Thank you so much, Rog. We will check in on Friday.
See you, boys. Have a good day.